Senate Bill 173 is to provide for an alternative base period for the purpose of determining unemployment compensation. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you. And I really think on this one, my comments are probably going to be pretty brief and to the point, because I'm just going to kind of give you what I believe is a general overview of the bill and then just a couple of quick things, and then I'm going to open it up to other people. And that is Senate Bill 173 is looking at using an alternative base period for the purpose of determining unemployment insurance compensation. And currently what we do is we look at the last five quarters that an individual has worked, and we base their unemployment insurance benefit on the first four of those last five quarters. All this is saying is you have the option of basing those on the last four quarters, because it says with the exception of that provided in Section 2, and Section 2 is the new section of the bill. Uses the most current, most recent data and allows you to base your unemployment insurance premium on that information. Now, the interesting thing, and I'm really glad to see Don Katke here, because you talk about a man who has all the answers when it comes to unemployment insurance. I mean, this is an expert in the field is what he is, and I'm glad he's here. And he's a very dedicated state employee that's going to be straight with us, and so it's cool. But here's the deal. Under current law in the state of South Dakota, the maximum, and we do put a maximum on the amount of unemployment insurance benefits that you're allowed to draw on this state, and that is their maximum is $234 per week. And what do they base that on? They go back again to, remember earlier on different bill we talked about different things, and there's wage deal and for in what the average wage is. They use their same kind of general information on what the average wage is for your particular occupation, and unemployment insurance benefit cannot exceed 50% of whatever that average wage was. Okay, so I mean there's things in place as far as the bar, the maximum that you can draw, and the least amount, because they always like to put a lower bar on there as well, and so the least amount of money that you're allowed to draw on unemployment insurance benefit is $28. And I get that wealth of information from our good friend Jerry Wheeler in his Retail Profit, and I always like this because they put out great information. And so that's where I get that from, and Mr. Katke's here to verify that, so that's good. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Unemployment insurance, what's it all about? What's it for? It's to help people between jobs when they don't have an income. That's what it's all about. It's not a welfare program. That's not what unemployment insurance is. It's to help a person who has been working and who qualifies for benefits when they are between jobs and they're in the most need. That's what unemployment insurance is. So don't mistake that or confuse that with welfare or somebody who's living off of an anatomical part that I'm not going to mention. But here's the deal. It's a benefit that is earned and by an employee because they work. It is a benefit that is paid by the employer through a system of taxation that we have, and it's available. And I hope Mr. Katke can give us updates as far as how much money is in that fund. If I remember correctly, it's over $50 million that's in that fund. No, it's not higher? Oh, it took a dump, didn't it? Okay, well, here's the thing. I mean, and that fund fluctuates and that fund varies. But we need to look at the person who has an employment history here. And that person that has been working, and if they're between jobs, it's an opportunity for us to help them. Well, there's already a maximum in place, and if they hit that maximum in their first four quarters, this has absolutely no bearing at all on them if they hit that maximum. So it doesn't matter. Because we do have that maximum, and that maximum, Mr. Katke will tell you how it raises periodically. But this is just an opportunity to get people the most amount of money that they can on an earned benefit or an earned safety net that we have with unemployment insurance, and to help them between troubled times, between jobs.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Paul Elward, South Dakota AFL-CIO, and we are a proponent of Senate Bill 173. I'm also a member appointed by the governor of the Unemployment Advisory Council, which admittedly has not met for a long time, so I can't tell you that we've discussed this bill and made any recommendation to the legislature. But I do remember quite a few years ago, one of the first meetings that that I attended of that group, which is made up of appointees by the governor, business people, and a representative from labor. And one of the business people from Sioux Falls talked about this very thing, and that this may be one thing that the state should look at, maybe take a look at changing the eligibility rules. I'm sure that has been in our law since the law was enacted originally. Nationally, because of laws like this that restrict people from drawing unemployment, there's over 60% of the people who were unemployed in the year 2000 that were ineligible to draw worker comp benefit. I'm sorry, unemployment benefits. There's a lot of states that have the same requirements as we do here in South Dakota, which are even more restrictive than the average. In the states that have restrictions such as ours, only about 30% of the people unemployed qualify for unemployment benefits. So it's even lower than the average of 39% nationwide. Changing this, we believe, is one of the most significant reforms that we could use right now, and it would help boost our economy in a time of recession. This basically would help low-wage, first-time people into the labor market, people who are coming off welfare, those type of people who would be unfortunate enough to be laid off. There's already been 12 states that have enacted similar legislation to this. They are Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Rhode Island, Vermont, Washington, and Wisconsin. And that those states together represent about one-third of the people who draw unemployment claims. So I would hope that we could take a serious look at this, and I don't know that there's ever a right time to increase benefits, which this will do, and it will draw from the unemployment fund. But I think in those bad times is maybe when we should do this. So I would urge you to take a favorable look at this bill.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Are there questions? If not, further proponents of 173? We need to be brief here if we can, people. Everybody, proponents and opponents.
I'm Kathy Brechtelsbauer. I'm speaking on behalf of children again. And I wish everybody was here. This, again, is one of the things on my list of what you can do to make a significant improvement in the lives of South Dakotans without spending a bunch of general fund money, which you are very short of this year. There is money in the unemployment trust fund, and significant amounts of money. I remember several years back, Representative Pat Haley said that he was in a committee under Governor Mickelson. When Governor Mickelson came to the committee and said, "We have a lot of money in this fund. We don't need this much money." So it would be something for you to consider, that perhaps a fund of this size could be perhaps more utilized on behalf of our workers for whom this fund is in existence in the first place. I have a background in several things, one of which is sociology. And people from the fields of any kind of research like this would not throw out the most recent data. Yet that's what we're doing with the current system of unemployment benefits, because we throw out from 3 to 6 months of work history when we consider whether a person's eligible and then how much their benefits are. And this bill would bring us closer to the work history that's more recent. It would have the more recent data available to use to consider eligibility and determine the size of the benefits. I think the most important thing I want to mention today is that we've had a significant, a huge effort on the part of the state and nation in the welfare reform process since 1996. Our state and nation have put major efforts into this. We have close to a $30 million block grant, and only 35% of that goes to cash assistance anymore. It's a major work support project. is what the TANF program has become, more so than the cash assistance for the families. We have put so much effort into getting people into the workforce, and as many people will report, this has actually happened. Many more people are in the workforce than used to be able to be there. We've had a tremendous effort at creating workers, and except for a few cases where it's not so appropriate, this is appreciated by the families. This is appreciated by our state government and public taxpayers. This is appreciated by the employers. This is a major accomplishment. But it seems to me that with one hand, we're putting all this effort into welfare reform. It doesn't make sense for you, on the other hand, to be pulling the rug out from under these new workers. Some of them are new workers, completely new. Some are returning after many years off and taking care of children, perhaps children with special needs and all kinds of problems. So what we need to do is work together. This alternative base period would make sense in light of all the welfare reform that's been going on. And I think that may be one reason why so many states are moving toward it and many others considering. So the unemployment rules haven't kept pace. These are very old rules that we're operating under. They haven't kept pace with the changes of the labor market, where we have more low-wage workers, more part-time workers. What we're seeing is that there's been money going in for these workers during that lag period of 3 to 6 months. There are job search requirements for people while they're on unemployment benefits. And these people are now attached to the labor force where they weren't before. We want them to continue to see themselves as attached to the labor force. And you, as a Commerce Committee, all of us as public citizens, want them to see themselves as attached to the labor force. There is no one who walks proudly into the welfare office. It just doesn't happen. It may not be a real picnic to walk into the unemployment office, but it's a whole lot better than sending them back to the welfare office. And that's what we can do with this bill, is to help people stay attached to the labor force and not have to go back to the welfare office. So I really urge you to approve Senate Bill 173 and help people not have to have that situation of going back to welfare.
Thank you. Further proponents of Senate Bill 173? Proponents?
Did anyone want to ask a question?
No. Okay. Further, are there opponents? We've got a few minutes left. Is it going to take you very long?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Don Katke, representing the Department of Labor. And despite those generous comments from Senator Ketzel, we still need to oppose this bill for a couple of primary reasons. And the most important reason that we oppose it is because when this bill creates this special eligibility period for workers that are not eligible under the current one, the second thing it does is also creates a separate and duplicate reporting process for employers to give us the wage data that those claims are based on. And just let me give you a quick example to tell you how that would work. Someone becomes unemployed, comes to our office today. We use their wages from October 1st, 2000 through September 30th, 2001. That 1 year is what their claim is based on. This proposal would say if they're not eligible in that period from those wages, we would take the wages from January 1st, 2001 through December 31st, 2001 and recalculate their eligibility. That seems pretty simple and straightforward. The problem is the wages from the fourth quarter 2001 we don't have yet. They're not even due from employers until January 31st. Nobody pays their taxes any earlier than they have to. So on January 31st, we get 25,000 employee reports coming in our back door. Those contain wage data for 300,000 workers in the state. All that has to be edited, entered into our system before we can access them on claims. So if this bill were in place, what we would need to do is every year we would have to send special request letters to about 3,000 to 4,000 employers saying, give us this wage data so we can process this claim. And that wage data we would ask them for is the same wage information that they would put on their regular quarterly reports that they file with us at the end of every quarter. So that's our primary reason for being opposed to this bill. In 2001, 85% of the workers that filed claims were eligible under the regular eligibility and base period that's in effect right now. Just one or two other comments.
Could you interject at this point? What happens to those that aren't eligible? You said 85% are eligible.
The other ones simply cannot establish a claim. The other 15% just are not eligible for benefits. Now, we don't know what their situation is, how long they've worked, or anything about them.
Could you clarify, is there a typical circumstance where a person might not be eligible?
Well, we look at this one-year base period of time, and a formula is applied to that, but in that year, a person has to have 5 or 5.5 months of work to qualify, to have enough wages to even start a claim. Some of the people, typically they're not eligible because they're new entrants to the labor force. They simply just have not worked long enough to meet that eligibility threshold within the statute. It averages about 5 to 5.5 months out of a 12-month period.
15% of your applicants have not worked 5 months.
They have not. They have not.
Other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I don't mean to continue to interrupt your testimony, but the 15% also includes those who aren't eligible because of voluntary leaving their employment or other, or are we just talking about the 15% that aren't eligible because of months worked or?
15% are because they don't have enough months of work.
Okay.
Again, I think you need to look at this is from the perspective that this is an insurance program. What we're intending to do is compensate people that have a proven attachment to the labor force, and that's measured by how much income that they have in a base period. Now, that's, of course, a decision that this legislature can make, is if you want to pay people that have less work or more work, what is the eligibility threshold to qualify for claims? But that's what it is in South Dakota. It is about 5.5 months of work out of 12 months. The only other comment I would make very quickly before I stop is that we don't know at all what the impact of this bill would be. I found an old study out in our files that said the benefits could go up in the range of $700,000 based on this bill. That information is from the U.S. Department of Labor. It's fairly old. I don't really know whether that's accurate or not. That's all.
Further questions, Don? No, thank you. Are there further opponents of Senate Bill 173? Opponents? Gil. Do you need a second or two? Just quickly, very brief, I'll give that to you.
I guess I would ask, it's kind of almost a question because I used to have this information. I don't know. Mr. Katke, can you tell me of the 85% of the people that do qualify, how many of those reach maximum, number one? And number two is what is the average draw for those who are drawing unemployment insurance?
The average draw is 10 to 12 weeks,
and the ones at maximum are somewhere around 50 or 60%. Dollar amount, do you know what the average draw is? And I guess in my closing comments, I would just say if over half of the people are only eligible for $200, if this might have, let's look at this honestly, if this may increase their benefit by $10 a week, those are the people that are in the need because they have an employment history, they're between jobs, they're looking for another job. It's not going to, I believe, break the system, and his $700,000 figure, I can't argue with that, but it just seems to me that if we've got somebody who has an employment history and they're between jobs, they're seeking employment, they're going back to work, let's help them out.
Thanks. Quickly.
But Mr. Ketzel, Senator Ketzel, as I understand it, the reason that they are excluded is they don't have an employment history, a sufficient employment history.
But those that are drawing have the history, and they are eligible for the benefit. That's the 85% of the people that apply qualify. Those people, since they do qualify, are drawing the benefit. Half of them max out, the other half don't.
Further questions? If not, thank you very much, Gil. Appreciate it. With that, we'll close the committee discussion or committee action on Senate Bill 173. Senator Valesky. Do pass by Senator Valesky. Is there a second? Second by Senator Sutton. Comments on that motion? Do pass. Senator Bogue.
Mr. Chairman, given the astronomical expense and difficulty in getting the information needed to make this work, I think that this doesn't make sense at this time. So I would make a substitute motion to defer the 36th legislative day.
Substitute motion to defer the 36th legislative day by Senator Bogusser. Second. Seconded by Senator Brown. Comments on that motion? If not, we've got a substitute motion to defer Senate Bill 173 to the 36th legislative day. All those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. The Secretary call the roll.
Bogue?
Aye.
McCracken? Sutton?
No.
Valesky?
No.
Whiting?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Munson?
Aye.
421.
Senate Bill 173 has been deferred. With that,